Tilt your mind's eye in one direction, and it's pretty easy to see how insane it is out there. Guns in schools, bombs at marathons, young men untethered and wreaking havoc, shootings in our own neighborhoods, shootings in the news. The Congress, they can't pass background checks, despite the polls saying that a supermajority of citizens think they're quite a good idea. And the governor of Arizona signing a law forbidding the melting down of guns obtained through buyback programs, claiming that in these tight economic times, cities and counties should be able to make a little bit of extra cash. And so the guns must be resold by the police departments that bought them back to get them off the streets. I didn't make that up. The law was supported by the NRA, which did say in a letter, this measure would ensure that taxpayer resources are not utilized to pursue a political agenda of destroying firearms. We are, as a country, fearful and reactive. The national debate at the moment is still too much of a screaming match, each side shouting out from behind ideological bunkers. There's an awful lot of us and them talk. We're opponents, are cast as enemies. And there seems to be precious little room for a real conversation, the kind that could, in time, create a compromise good for all. For unless America finds a way to work together to face a problem that we all share, not much will change, at least not a change for the better. This isn't a simple problem, and there won't be a simple fix. Certainly, each of us need to do our part, beginning probably with just resisting the numbing effects of the 24-hour news cycle, which replaces one story with the next, and taking the time not just to grieve and memorialize the victims, but remember that each tragic event is part of a larger pattern. Sensing the trouble out there, we each have to do everything our conscience requires. Maybe that's communicating with our elected leaders, or supporting national groups that express our highest hopes, or working with our neighbors in local groups. The violence we see around us, the violence we live with, certainly has many, many causes. But not knowing all of them doesn't relieve us from the responsibility of working against the ones we do know. Hopelessness is fertile ground for violence. So poverty, failing schools, lack of mental health services, addiction treatment, ameliorating any of these can only help. But truth is, no one of them will fix it. The problem of gun violence in America is a problem we can't solve. It's something we have to grow out of. This is an instance where Einstein was right. Some problems can't be solved by using the same kind of thinking that created them. I think that evolving that different perspective, stretching our own minds and hearts and souls, helping each other mature, is what this place is all about. This is our business. For no matter how crazy it is out there, it's very different in here. Here, we are building a house of healing and hope, a place to create beauty, to make peace, to bend the world towards justice. Here, we begin with ourselves and circle outward. This has been our way ever since we began. Francis David, whose spirit of tolerance has been summed up in the saying, "We need not think alike to love alike," lived in the 1500s in Transylvania. Now, you need to know, he never actually said those words. Historians tell us they are a 20th century understanding of his thought that someone put quotes around. But the truth is, like us, he, all those centuries ago, believed that freedom, respect, and tolerance were fundamental, that these are necessary for the mind's search for truth, the soul's relationship to the divine, and for our relationships with each other. That same spirit is in our purposes and principles, which was written only in the last century, in the 1980s. And it's because of them that we can still imagine a heaven here on earth. And it's because of them that we can make it our mission to do what we can to make that vision real. For we here would be peacemakers. Now we've all, every one of us, felt the weight of anger and fear and hurt. And we all, every one of us, want a faith that will make it better, make us stronger, reassure us that it won't do us in, we won't go under. A faith that will give us the confidence that, yeah, we really do have, and we can find more of what it takes to live well. And whatever our life stories are, we too want a path of transformation like Troy Chapman's, a path towards a bigger vision of humanity, a way of being who we are that allows confrontation and goodwill to sit side by side in our hearts, that lets us throw hope in the face of the enemies and uses sanity and humor to turn anger around, our own anger as well as that of others. It's who we are, who we would like to be. I think the good feeling that fills this room and Osias every Sunday morning comes from a sense, an ability to trust that this, in fact, is what this congregation is about. We are here, evolving selves in an evolving community. Now, God knows we're not perfect. We get testy with each other. We get so annoyed that we wish we'd gone speechless a little earlier. And we all have days when we can't get away from each other quick enough. And then we come back and try it all again. Maybe this time with a little more sleep, a little more understanding, a better sense of humor. We come back in, ready to try, and it feels really good to have someone smile at us when we walk through that door. Here, there are partners on that road, and we won't get lost if we all just keep on walking and dancing together. I believe deep in my bones that healing the self, finding peace in our own souls, is and has always been the first step towards healing the world. Inner and outer are very useful categories of thought, but they're not really separate realms of being. One touches and shapes the other in powerful ways. It really is crazy out there. There are lots of guns and a culture some call a culture of violence, but it's not crazy in here. No guns. An evolving culture of peace. So just as I had questions for the kids, I have a question for the adults. I think the time has come for us to ask ourselves, how can we take some of the good that we have here and put it out in the world? Now, this is a deeply theological conversation, and I propose that over the next few months, we have it in a very focused and pragmatic way. So the text I want us to exegete together is our own policy and procedures manual. Now, you all should have received your necessary chapter and verse as you came in this morning. You don't have to read it all now. For those of you who are truly paper-free, it's all on the website. But here's the story about these words. This service came about because participants in the second hour class on guns, hopes, and fears presented the board with four recommendations. This service is the staff's first response to those recommendations. And years back, we realized that we did not have an up-to-date personnel policy. So a committee was formed to develop best practices in this area. One element of that policy was a section called separation from employment, which included unauthorized possession of weapons and threats, threatening behavior, or acts of violence against other persons as grounds for immediate dismissal. This policy was not at all controversial. I mean, language like this exists in most corporate personnel manuals. And besides, this is a house of worship. What kind of no-brainer is that one? Then, a little bit later, one of our wiser members said, "Ooh, you know what? We now require something of our employees that we have not said is a requirement of ourselves or anybody else who uses our building." Did we mean to do that? Well, in short order, we added that to the manual. Some years later, we added a policy on disruptive behavior. Now, this one, which is most of the pages in your little handout, is way too long for one slide, and it's too complex and too interesting not to have a service of its very own. I've scheduled that one for the fall. But if you, between now and then, read and reflect on that policy, I think you will discover that it is actually misnamed. It could, maybe it should be called Responding Faithfully to Disruptive Behavior. For that policy is an attempt to navigate between the needs of the individual and the needs of the group. It's the philosophical conundrum of the one and the many. This is a polarity to be managed, not a problem to be solved. And the procedures this policy sets forth are an attempt to manage it well by using our purposes and principles as a guide. So here is my question for all of you. I would have us reflect together on the meaning of these words. How is it that we, as a congregation, might be able to make that underlying spirit more clear and present to the world out there? How could we further this dialogue among ourselves? How can we better meet the world as who we are? What could we do? Put signs in the building? Put signs outside? Offer classes for the community? What do you imagine might be our next pragmatic and practical step? You see, Troy Chapman told the story of stepping off a sidewalk and staying engaged. So my question for you to contemplate is, how is it that we, as a congregation, can step towards that third side? How can we say to the world, to even life itself, we have no need of enemies? Come, we would meet you on that different field, for we would be peacemakers of our time. You might be hoping that I'd let you all just answer those questions right here and now. Sorry. I want you to think. And we will have a series of conversations in different ways in the next few months. But take it to heart, think deeply, and then we'll talk.